It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Doug in Wichita, thank you for hanging out. What's cooking, man?
Hey, Doug, no problem. Actually, dinner just got finished cooking.
Oh, good. What's tonight, Doug?
Tonight, for dinner, it's orange chicken and rice.
Okay, did you just, like, DoorDash it, or do you make orange chicken?
Oh, no, my wife made orange chicken. I should clarify that. I didn't make it. The wife did. That's awesome, Doug.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, all clean ingredients, you know, all that good, no processed crap. She even got the orange peels and did her own zest for the flavor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I make orange chicken, too. I go to Trader Joe's, I get a frozen bag of orange chicken, and then I cook it and I eat it.
Hey, that's nice, man. We just got our first Trader Joe's here in Wichita maybe 2 years ago.
That's so exciting.
It's cool, man.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, you should go there. All right. Anyway, hi, Doug.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, Brock Purdy, he is our quarterback. I'm going to say this. He's going to come out, and this is what he needs to do, and I think he will do. He will play a good game. It may not be Michael Vick running all over the place to beat Green Bay and on the frozen tundra type game, but he's going to come out. He's going to play. And if he's really going to be missing all these other guys that he has rapport with, he's going to play a good game. Now, once the ball is out of his hands, it's not on him, okay? If the guys drop the ball, they drop the ball. Hey, got to break them in. We're going to beat the Rams. Ain't sweating it. Shanahan, I think, I understand what the caller's saying, that all the outside noise about him being a genius could possibly be getting to his head. I don't think so. I think he's a great coach, because I'm like you guys. I'm thinking back, you know, not so long ago when we sucked, and it was just like, man, can we win a game? Can we maybe score consistently? Maybe. Well, now we are, and we do. So I think he's just caught up. Not caught up, that's a bad term. He believes in his system, and he has proven that it will work. And it's just a matter of getting over the hump. Let's don't forget Mr. Reed over here in Kansas City with the 5 NFC championships and a Super Bowl. Couldn't get over the hill until he got over here in Kansas City, okay? Patience, people. Be a Jedi. Trust the Force.
Love it. Love it. Doug, thanks. Enjoy the orange chicken, man. Listen, this one is going to be very interesting. I have reached the point of being able to be excited about it. It took a hit when you just picked them, but outside of that.
Shake that off.
No, really.
Got a winning record.
I am excited about this one. I'm a big believer in that in life. When the stuff happens that you don't want to happen, like, just try to breathe and not try to see the positive right away, because, like, no, you got to sit with it for a second. But and sometimes it takes longer than other times. Yeah, I used the example earlier, like when Jimmy Garoppolo tears his ACL, you're like, this sucks. And then a year later, you're like, oh, we have Nick Bosa and we're going to the Super Bowl. Okay, so, like, sometimes Steph Curry's ankles. Oh, wait, we got him for 4 years and $44 million, and now we can fit Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala on the team, and we're going to have a dynasty. So sometimes it takes longer than others, but and this one's not as important. It's not a good thing that these three players are hurt, but I am excited about what this may lead to for both Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to show what they can do.
It's a whole team thing for me in that same vein. It's a whole team exercise in show me what you can do, because we talked about last year and how that season played out, and you had almost no injuries. Bosa and Debo was out for just a couple games. Trent missed a couple. Ayuk didn't miss any. Purdy was healthy. McCaffrey was healthy. George Kittle was healthy. You went through a year where you didn't have any significant injuries, and now this year you have significant injuries. Yep. Christian McCaffrey's yet to play. Debo is going to miss at least 2 weeks, maybe more. George Kittle's going to miss this game, it looks like, and possibly more.
Who knows?
And on and on and on. So you look at last year and it was smooth sailing, and then this year it hasn't been really that way early on, yet it's an opportunity for other people. Trent Williams with a great quote that you played earlier about this giving opportunity to other people, and that's the way you look at it in football. And it doesn't mean that come November you might be 6-6 and everybody gets healthy and you might be able to go on a run there. Every year is different. And so for this Sunday, are you in a spot where you feel terrible about your chances to get the Rams? Absolutely not.
Here's the comment by Trent.
Next man up. It sucks. Guys are the best in the world, but who really feels sorry for us? So it's next man up, Lee. Couple guys that we want to see get more action anyway. Hate it had to come on the heels of somebody being injured, but when opportunities present themselves, and nobody would have known Jordan if a couple guys didn't go down, and nobody would have known Brock if we didn't lose three quarterbacks in 1 year. It's a blessing in disguise, and guys just got to be ready to step up.
You know what I noticed that time that I didn't notice the first time is everybody having a good time in the background.
Yeah, a lot of woos.
Yeah. Can I get a woo-woo.
Totally.
And you know, I'm not saying that that tells the entire story, but I do think that sometimes the way we react and the way an actual team reacts to certain situations is very, very different. You know what I mean? Because they're there and they're experiencing it. And it does not sound to me like the 49ers are licking wounds and feeling down and all of that. I think that they're about to go play their rivals. The more than half the stadium is going to be red, and even with all the injuries on paper and not on paper, they have the better team, and so there remains no excuses, and they should go play well, and I expect them to.
Yeah, and they expect themselves to, and I'm sure for the Rams on their side of the ledger, they're thinking the same thing. I don't believe that the Rams are going to this game thinking, oh, geez, no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua, no offensive linemen. We're down three offensive linemen. Man, should we even show up to this game? I don't know if it's even worth it to show up to this game. I'm sure they have the same mindset of next man up and figure out how you're going to go out there and get the job done.
Let's go to Kurt in Hayward next up on Withered and Dibs. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show, fellas. And as far as the Rams and the 49ers this Sunday, for sure the 49ers are winning. I'm going to tell you why. First of all, this is going to be Purdy's best day as a quarterback in the last two games. This is where he has to shine for his $60 million next year, this type of game. He has to shine in this game, and Brandon Ayuk has to wake up. I got him at 2 touchdowns in this game. I got the defense coming alive. Fred Warner is going to intercept one ball. The Rams are going down. The score is going to be 28-17. Purdy has to show what he's worth in games like this. Bottom line.
Man. Yeah.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm feeling better about my pick, Kurt. Thank you. I needed that little pick-me-up.
I don't want to get into this semantics thing, but no, Brock Purdy does not have to shine. The same way Brandon Ayuk does not need to go for 100 yards. The 49ers need to win.
Of course.
I don't care who, like, this whole,
that,
like...
It's interesting you say that because...
It's not a country western. We're not having a showdown at the OK Corral, and someone needs to this, that, and whip out their you-know-what and twist it around and show everybody quién es más macho so that you can get a contract. No, like, that's never been who these guys are. So, like... I don't want to watch the game that way. I want the 49ers to be an effective group. And if that means that Brock Purdy turns around and hands the ball off to Jordan Mason 40 times and he goes for 200 yards and the Niners win by 10, then so be it. So be it. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that actually the definition of Brock Purdy is that Kyle Shanahan can go into a game like this and still feel comfortable throwing the ball. If this were Jimmy's team, you ain't throwing the ball Sunday.
Well, we've seen it in the playoffs.
Correct.
Where he threw the ball 9 times or 8 times.
Eight.
Yeah, in that game. And I do think that in this game, without Debo and Christian and George, if George doesn't play and he's listed as doubtful, which 99% of the time means he's going to be out, there will be two scoreboards. And yes, the first scoreboard is the actual scoreboard, who wins the game. But beyond that, everybody, including all of us here on this radio station and fans listening to us, we're going to be looking at Brock Purdy with a certain amount of scrutiny because he doesn't have those other weapons. So it does actually matter in the court of public opinion how Brock Purdy looks without these other guys on his team.
My point is that I want him to play well. That does not need to be stats. It doesn't need to be stats. You know, this gets very circumstantial. You get to the red zone, you hit Brandon Ayuk, he goes down at the one, Jordan Mason runs it in from the one, and we go, oh, he doesn't have any touchdown passes. It's like, no, you're in charge of moving the ball. You're in charge of moving the ball.
Yeah.
So the ball moves. That's what it, don't turn it over. If I got one sentence for Brock Purdy this weekend, that's it. That's it. I don't need touchdown passes. I don't need 300 yards. Don't turn the ball over. If they don't turn it over, they're going to win the football game. That's how I feel.
That's usually the case.
Yeah.
Although last Sunday, they were even in the turnover battle. They had two. Minnesota had two. And you lost the game. And normally, when you win the time of possession battle, you win the game. And you won the time of possession battle, and you didn't win the game. So last Sunday was a little bit of an anomaly in many ways. I would like to see Brock Purdy in this offense get in the red zone and score a touchdown. That would be nice. And convert third downs and defensively get off the field on third down, because that, through two games, has been, it's been a challenge. It's
worst
been a bit
of league,
a problem.
Right?
On third down?
I think so.
I think
one of them.
Yeah,
they're
bottom five is,
yeah,
what I think I had yesterday when I looked it up. And third down conversions on offense, they're toward the bottom of the middle third in converting third downs. And that's been, you know, hasn't been a huge issue through two games, because against the Jets, it didn't really matter. Third down, you were comfortably in front most of the way. But last Sunday against Minnesota, you were 2 of 10 on third down, and Minnesota was 7 of 12. And that became a huge factor in the ballgame.
888-957-9570 is the number. What do you think you're going to see from Brock Purdy this weekend? Down three weapons and... how you feeling if they lose this game? And I know what you're saying with what you said earlier, like, no, it's not a must win or whatever. I don't think you're blowing off the importance of this one. And it's always feeling inflated because it's the next one. Like, this is football. There's not a lot of them. We probably inflate the importance of all of the games. The Niners can certainly rally back. If they lose on Sunday, who knows, maybe they won't lose again all year long. That's within the rules, too. So sure, there's that. I just look at it this way. I don't think there's a way to lose this game and not come back Monday concerned. And there is actually one thing for all of our talk about Brock Purdy. To me, this is the game where I want to come out feeling good about the new defensive regime. That's what I want. I want to come out feeling good about the other pass rushers not named Bosa. I want to come out feeling good about Talanoa Hufanga. And I want to come out feeling good about the positioning of the safeties. This offense in L.A. is going to have to probably silent count in their own stadium and has no receivers and no offensive linemen. If they move the ball with regularity in this game, I will be concerned Monday morning, no matter what the final score is.
Fair enough. And I think that's a good way to look at it, especially when you look at third down conversions, and they are 31st right now defensively. They're allowing 59% of third downs to be converted. And against Minnesota on the last drive where they settled for three, but they chewed up a lot of the fourth quarter. It was a 3rd and 7. It was a 3rd and 8. And they converted a 3rd and 2. Three third down conversions on the drive that resulted in a field goal that ultimately made it a 6-point victory. So I do think if you look at the pressure, who's under the most pressure? I think Brock Purdy's under a significant amount because he doesn't have the weapons around him, but also Nick Sorensen, the defensive coordinator, because this defense has not looked as, I guess, a lot better than where we left them last year.
Felt good about it on Monday against the Jets, didn't you?
Yeah, felt good about it. But then against Minnesota, I felt a little bit puzzled. Some of the coverages, not only on the 97-yard touchdown catch where it looked like You didn't have a very good scheme in there, and I know we had a guest on earlier in the week, or we played some sound. Might have been from Baldy, actually, on the morning show, mm-hmm. saying, I don't know what that was, but you can't have two safeties as your two deep guys, and Jair Brown kind of bit on an over route, and he didn't get deep enough, and so that was an attention to detail mistake. And also, you're really trying to rely on your four-man front to get home. They only blitzed four times against Minnesota. I think you have the third or fourth lowest blitz percentage so far through two games. So I just want to see this defense be a little bit more aggressive and really take this game over with an offense that is depleted on the other side.
It's an interesting kind of a take, especially if you want to dive really deep into Rams, Niners, X's, and O's. Remember a couple of things. First of all, if they don't like blitzing, you would hope that they would want to start this game out the same way. In other words, you would hope that your front four can beat an offensive line that is missing three starters. However, Matt Stafford, very, very good, and Sean McVay getting the ball out of his hands. And remember what it was like last year when the Niners went to LA week two and the Rams were beating them. They were up 17-10 and they were really moving the ball. And a Kyren Williams wasn't a fumble. It was a ball bouncing off of his hands that was picked off early in the second half, sort of flipped the momentum of the game. And if I'm remembering correctly, it was Fred Warner on a blitz in the third quarter that finally got to Stafford. But that dude was untouched in the first half. I know there's no Puka. I know there's no Cooper. But then again, last week they played the Vikings, and there was no Kirk Cousins, there was no Jordan Addison, there were portions of no Justin Jefferson.
No Hockenson.
And no TJ Hockenson. And they moved the ball. Not great, but pretty good, at least at key moments. So that team was injured. This team is even more injured. I don't want to assume that just because some people are out, that means that there's absolutely no way to move the ball. But I don't see the talent on the Rams side to justify not having a good game defensively. That's actually where my head is at. You're right. All eyes on Purdy. That's what we do. He's the quarterback. But this is a game for the Niner defense.
Agreed. And I was just looking at the numbers from last year. Stafford goes 34 of 55 in that game.
Crazy.
55 throws. He threw for 307, and Kyren Williams only ran for 52 yards on 14 carries. So it was a lot of what you're talking about, which is one step and out, and the ball was out quick. And it was Puka Nacua who was a big part of it that day. He had 15 catches for a buck 47, and you didn't have Cooper Kupp in that game at all. He was already out in week two. So. Yep. You know, it's not totally different what you're going to face, and, you know, different names. They still have Tutu Atwell and, you know, different wide receivers, but by and large, I think it's going to be the same approach from the Rams. So maybe you won't see actually a lot of blitzes, because if Stafford's going to get rid of it that quickly, maybe you wind up not going to a lot of blitzes. And according to Pro Football Reference, the Niners have blitzed six times this year, 9.5%. Blitz rate, which is the lowest in the National Football League.
It's crazy. Yeah. This league, man, it's so funny to me. I'll say this again. Go back to 3 weeks ago where everybody was confident in a few things. You could go through the whole deal. Well, the Niners are going to win the West, and the Lions are going to win the North. The South is going to be something stupid. And the Eagles and Cowboys will battle it out in the East. And then you go over to the AFC, and it's like, well, the Ravens will win that division, even though it's a good one. And obviously the Chiefs, they're going to do their thing. They're dominant. And then Houston, that's been somewhat predictable. Everybody else in their division's awful. And then you go over to the East, where the Jets were going to be amazing, and then they came out on Monday night and they were terrible. The Bills, you thought would be good. You want them to clean it up. And the Dolphins were exciting. And so some of that has been, I guess, a little bit accurate. But the storyline of an NFL season, there's nothing like it. It is the most wavering thing in our lives. To go from Tua is now going to be out long term to the Ravens are playing for their lives in Dallas on Sunday. Go look at the metrics if you go 0-3. Go look at the metrics. how many teams? I think one. Is it one? I know the Texans did this a few years ago.
Yep, 2018.
But to go to the playoffs after an 0-3 start is next to impossible. And the Ravens have to go to Jerry's World to try to avoid coming 0-3. The Chiefs got totally outplayed for an entire day by a supposedly broken Bengals team, but still found a way to win. Maybe the Chargers are actually good. The Eagles have lost us. The Lions are almost 0-2. Jordan Love is hurt. The Bucs look incredible. So do the Saints. And the Niners are missing half of their big-name players. The NFL storyline's insane. It's incredible how quickly it surprises us every single year.
Right. The teams that you think are, go ahead and rubber stamp them into the playoffs. Yeah. Baltimore is a good example.
Well, that's a long way of saying that's why I don't do Super Bowl or bust. It's actually not the only reason, but it's one of them. It's just not the time to talk about Super Bowl at the beginning of a season. There's just too many things that have to happen.
Agreed, but when you have a team this deep and you have a head coach who is a genius, then, I mean, if you don't lose your quarterback, like Miami, if Tua's out for a long time and it looks like he's going to be out for a long time and some are saying that he might be out for the year, and if that's the case, well, you can go ahead and wad up Miami's playoff hopes and throw it in the dumpster and throw it in the trash, much like you did last year with the Jets. And the Jets actually had a better year, I think, than you probably would have expected. But it's because they had a very good team. They had a deep team, great receiver, great running back, and an elite defense. So short of the Niners losing Brock Purdy, it still is Super Bowl or bust, in my opinion, even if they go to L.A. and lose this weekend.
Well, listen, I understand the hope for it. But, like, you know, you said the Niners are such a deep team. Well, are they?
We're going to find out on Sunday.
There you go. I don't know that yet. I don't know how deep the 49ers are. I know that Christian McCaffrey has missed the season so far and that they're 1-1. And one of them was a bit frustrating. And now they're going to play the Rams with other key players out. So I don't know how deep they actually are. Let's take some more calls. 888-957-9570. Dale in the Creek. What's up, Dale? Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, Dale.
Yeah. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
I just want to say, name the top five quarterbacks in the league, and if they don't have their top three weapons, let's see how they do. All I want from Brock Purdy is a solid performance. I think he's capable of that. Everything you're saying about teams going down 0-3, that's why I'm worried about the Rams this weekend. Have a good weekend, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Dale, thanks. Yeah, that's Dale. A fun exercise for a second. Let's go with Dale for just a moment. How would you assess Patrick Mahomes in a game if there was no Kelce and there was no Rashee Rice? And I guess what? Do you want to do Pacheco or Xavier Worthy?
I think Pacheco's fair.
Okay.
Because they're going to be without him.
Well, he is out. All right. So there you go. That's their running back, wide receiver, tight end. Same thing with the Niners.
Yep.
How would you assess Patrick Mahomes? Would you immediately like give him some slack, or you're like, no, you're Patrick Mahomes. Too bad.
You're Patrick Mahomes, and you've got Andy Reid. So I do think that there's a lot of that that's baked into any of these conversations, because you've got the best coach in football, and you've got the best quarterback maybe ever, according to some people. So, and we've seen them do it already with Rashee Rice instead of Tyreek Hill, where nobody knew what a Rashee Rice was, and now they've got some new running back who they're bringing in, some guy who's got a pet alligator, and you know, you're not expecting Kansas City to go out and lose.
His name is Carson Steele.
Carson Steele. And Crocky J.
Crocky J is the name.
Thank you. Crocky J is the name of his alligator. So nobody's looking at Kansas City and thinking, oh boy, go ahead and hang an L now. And I know they still have Kelce and Rashee Rice, but...
Well, I mean, it's interesting, though. We're expecting less from Stafford because his two top weapons are out.
I would look at it more because of the three offensive linemen that they're missing.
Okay,
three
that's starting fine, too. Linemen. Either way, that's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback who was the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
And but, he's getting cut slack automatically.
No, not really.
You don't think so?
Slack from whom?
Matt Stafford is literally, and this is a stupid point, but it's sort of interesting with our conversation. In some of my fantasy leagues, Matt Stafford is sitting on the waiver wire right now. Nobody's picking him up.
In our league, he's on the waiver wire.
Nobody wants him.
Right.
Why?
Because he's not going to go out there and put up big numbers.
You're expecting him to not do well.
Well, and I think that you were expecting him not to do well from the start of the year.
Oh, I don't
which
think
is why
so.
Nobody drafted him.
No, but people, he was drafted in most of the leagues. I think he got dropped.
I don't know if he got dropped in our league. But
I think so.
Yeah,
I'd have to check. Yeah.
Well, and the spread is still sitting at 6.5.
Yeah.
So the spread hasn't moved with the Kittle news that he's doubtful, and that number still sits where it is. Dolphins are underdogs at Seattle because they lost their quarterback.
Yeah, they had no quarterback. That's different.
Yeah, when you lose your quarterback, it becomes a much bigger thing. Just circling back, before we go back to the phones, and I'm loving these Friday calls, the Chargers in 1992 started the year 0-4, and they made the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it. They scored 29 points in their first four games combined.
Would that be the Chargers team that played the 49ers in the Super Bowl?
No, this team lost to Miami in the divisional 31-0.
That was the year later? It was the year after they lost in the Super Bowl to the Niners?
This is the 92 Chargers.
Oh, 92. Then it was the year later. Yeah. It was after that they went to the Super Bowl.
This is the Bobby Ross Chargers.
Got it.
Led by Stan Humphreys.
Well, Stan Humphreys is who led
them. Stan Humphreys.
Yeah, that's who went to the Super Bowl.
Marion Butts was their leading ball carrier that year.
You didn't need to go there.
I did. They started 0-4.
John Sally.
Thank you. They won 11 of their final 12 to make the playoffs. So even if Baltimore loses this weekend, there's an additional playoff team and an additional game. We don't need to hit the panic button just yet.
Sam in Berkeley. Hi, Sam. What's cooking?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm going to reach here. I mean, it's a little conspiracy theory I got, but it's a reach. So y'all might have to hang up on me, flush me, do what you guys got to do.
All right.
But I feel like Shanahan, he's kind of like a player's coach. I feel like he's even like friends or buddy-buddy with a lot of these players, like star players, superstars on the team, your CMCs, Debos, Trent Williams, etc. First off, the holdouts, Ayuk and Trent, I don't even think those were real holdouts. A plan was in place. I think that was just to get out of training camp, get out of preseason. They're always going to play and get signed. Now, I watched that Netflix thing, Receiver.
Yep.
And I didn't really realize how injured Debo and Kittle kind of were through that whole playoff run.
Yep.
Like, it seems like that they just had that lingering bug through the whole, I guess, playoffs or the end of the season, which didn't kind of help us out, maybe even lost us the Super Bowl. So I think Kyle now is like, you know what, guys, if we can just even get 6-4, 5-5, let's ramp it up towards the end of the season, get healthy, get a little hot streak. Kind of like what Kerr did with the Warriors. I want to say the Klay Thompson year when we came back and kind of made a run. Like, protect your players. Seems like half the league's injured already anyways. Let's just eke these little wins out and see if we can be healthy and make another push. I don't know. That's just little theory I had,
maybe. So, Sam, we're not gonna flush you. We're not gonna yell at you. We're not going to call you crazy. We are gonna move on because there's other callers. There's only one of your conspiracy theories that I will slightly buy. I don't think Brandon Ayuk was just sitting out camp. That makes no sense. He's in his early 20s. Yes, he was almost traded, and there were actual problems that were being worked out there. I will buy the Trent Williams one. I tried to say this all month. There was literally, absolutely 0.00% chance of Trent Williams not being ready for week one. Now, as far as the load management idea that you're having out there, like, that's how arrogant you think Kyle is, and I'm here to tell you, he's not that arrogant. No coach is like, yeah, if we're 5-5, let's just be 5-5 after 10 games. Nobody looks at the NFL season that flippantly and believes that they can just snap their fingers and go get as many wins as they want. You run the risk of totally cratering your season if you played it like that. And you certainly wouldn't do it in a way where you're like, yeah, let's just have like all the good players sit out in one particular week because we know we can beat the Rams. Like, no, there's enough respect for opponent every single week in the NFL. I mean, how,
especially these divisional games, and three of the next four are divisional games. So those games, when you start talking about tiebreakers and winning the division, these are the games that matter the most.
Dibs, lovely Christie and I are in one of them Survivor Pool deals that had about 800.
You still in it?
800. Well, we had multiple entries because we pooled our entries. 800 plus people in this thing. You know what it's down to?
Probably about 70.
100.
That's after 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yep.
So that tells you about the, oh, we could beat, like the Ravens, we could beat the Raiders. Ah, the Bengals. Oh, we'll beat the Patriots.
Yeah, no.
No, you won't. You can't assume anything.
Well, think about just that. The Patriots beat the Bengals in week one, and then you saw what you saw from the Patriots last night, and it makes you think about week one. How in the hell did you beat the Bengals?
And then the Bengals, the very next week, had the Chiefs. They had them.
Exactly.
They had them.
But they let them off the hook.
Yeah.
I do agree with his point about Brandon Ayuk. I don't think that Brandon Ayuk had any interest in going to camp, because if the offer was there, and that's what all the sources have told us and all the reports, that he ended up signing the exact same offer that was there 10 days earlier. He didn't sign the offer 10 days earlier because he didn't want to go to camp.
Well,
and maybe he thought that he didn't need camp. I can't get inside the mind of Brandon Ayuk, but I know this. He didn't go to camp, and he's come out slow.
I sort of read what he was saying as it was the Niners and Ayuk were in cahoots to miss camp.
Yeah, I don't believe about it. Yeah, I don't think that there was cahoots.
I don't know what Brandon wanted. I don't know if Brandon knew what Brandon wanted, because Brandon wanted a trade and publicly requested one, and then as soon as it was about to happen, ran into Kyle's office and said, don't trade me. Let's talk this out.
Exactly.
So I don't think, yeah, I think that was a big part of the problem all summer, is that Brandon wasn't really in touch with what he wanted, or he knew what he wanted, But he tried so hard to leverage more money out of it, he was willing to kind of play a game of chicken with it, which was a bad idea. Rich in Fremont here with Willard and Dibs. Hey, Rich, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think the one thing that, you know, because I've been listening to these callers, you know, talk about the Rams, and I heard you guys talking about it too, and I think the one thing that we probably should remember, even though the Rams appear to be pretty much a lame duck for a win, one thing you need to remember is that they still have Matthew Stafford, okay? He can deliver. He can deliver the football. And you remember, before Puka Nacua became who he came, it's because Stafford was throwing passes to him. He was nobody before then. So how do we know the Rams aren't fighting for another no-name to have a big game against the NFC West division rival, the 49ers? Because at the end of the day, this is what it's about. It's not about who's injured. It's a fact that Kyle Shanahan has to play against you know, the Rams, okay? And so anything's possible. I mean, I don't want to think like that on that level because I'm a Niners fan, but I don't want to go in there thinking, if I'm the Niners, go in there thinking, oh, yeah, they're just going to lay down and we're just going to walk out here with a win. No, no. It's kind of like what John Lynch said. You want to win a Super Bowl, you got to earn it, and it starts at every single game. And this game is no different than any other game. So if you go in there thinking, oh, yeah, we're the Niners, we're just going to come here and clean your clock, it's like, well, no, that's not going to happen. If you want to win, you better beat them.
Yeah, you can't, Rich, I agree with the larger point. You can't assume anything in the NFL, no matter how injured somebody is. If you've been a 49er fan long enough, all I have to do is say the name Coy Detmer. I remember that night. I remember when the Niners were going to, oh my gosh, they were going to blow him out. Coy Detmer, not Ty Detmer,
no.
His brother,
oh, yeah.
Came in and started doing the saddle up, like whip him out there on the field, and won a football game. Now, the other side to it, though, that Rich just said, how do we know that the Rams don't have some other no-name who's going to pop? Here's the answer, because we've already seen it. Like, I don't want to downgrade Puka Nacua by saying, yeah, like the Rams can just produce any old thing, and maybe they got another rookie laying in wait. They don't. They've already played two games. I'm not saying that some of these players can't play, but they do not have another Puka Nacua. 2 weeks into the season last year, and Puka, I think, was a fifth rounder, I think.
That sounds right.
Fifth rounder, and nobody outside of the Rams offices had heard of him. 2 weeks into the season, do you know how many targets, forget catches,
yeah,
targets for Puka Nacua in the first 2 weeks of his career last year?
I'm looking at it right now.
It's an unbelievable number.
35.
35.
He had 25 catches for 246. No touchdowns, but 25 grabs Holy. For 246 through two. And, yeah, he would go on to have an historic rookie campaign.
He's special. He's a great player.
Not Sunday, he's not.
Nope, he ain't playing.
He out. Matthew Stafford career, and I know we have more calls to get to, and I'm so happy people are calling on this beautiful Friday night. Stafford for his career, 1-8 against the San Francisco 49ers. And that, of course, includes, well, this is just regular season, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But that includes his time in Detroit as well.
Yeah, okay. Next up. Oh, Robin's on the line. Hi, Robin. What you doing?
Hey, Sugar.
Hi, Sugars. I'm trying to formulate my what I want to get across, but I hope it comes across. So, listen, you know, Debo's my husband. Me and my friend, Shatai, we share him. She said, oh, her husband is her. Anyway, this is what I want to say. If Mahomes didn't have what you guys said, he'd be running for his damn life, too. Just like when his receivers was dropping all them balls, he didn't look so great, did he? Okay? Now, when it comes to Brock, I think that there's a lot of, not on you guys, that's part of it, but contradiction, period, and sometimes a little hypocrisy in some people. Because, and let me see if this sums it up. Joe Montana, I forgot what interview I heard him in last year or something. He said he was really lucky as a quarterback to land where he landed and who he landed with. He said that makes the break or makes the success of a quarterback. And I see it. You know, people hype because they fit the prototype. They hype Trevor Lawrence. Trevor's love. He throws more interceptions. Okay? I don't care what you say about Josh Allen. He might fit the prototype. He might be athletic. What has he done? Okay? Who's that other one? So it's Josh Allen. Joe Burrow. See another one, right? I mean, maybe I'm old school and judging wrong. Okay? But this is what I see. I say that to say this. Now we put those same expectations on Purdy. Why? Because he was the last in the draft, and he's delivered beyond expectation where his status was. But then he's over. Some of our fan base, they expect too much out of him at the level of a Joe Montana. What I would like to see is him grow and develop. He needs to learn to move around in the pocket a little better. But I also think they're a product of their coaching. And does anybody develop a quarterback any damn more? Peace out, and I love you both.
Oh, Robin.
Love you too, Robin.
Boom.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
You develop quarterbacks on the fly now is mostly how you do it.
Well, I mean,
other than Michael Penix Jr., who maybe is being developed while he watches Kirk Cousins.
Or the entire Green Bay Packers organization, who grabbed their quarterbacks in the first round and then make them sit there for 3 or 4 years.
That's fair.
Yeah, like they've been great at it. So, but you're right. Like, nobody has the patience for that anymore. Robin said something, though, that I really agree with, and it's hard to thread this needle sometimes. But she was talking about how Joe Montana said he was so lucky where he landed. Don't get it twisted. That's very true about Brock Purdy. It's incredibly true. Nobody's arguing that. But what people have a hard time with is doling out credit when you see something go well and simply saying, well, either Shanahan produced Purdy, Purdy produced Shanahan. No, it's just the fit. That's all it is. And that's why it doesn't matter. Like, the most irrelevant conversation we have in sports is, what would Purdy like if he would be on the Jags? What would Purdy look like if he were a Panther? I don't care.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. What would Brady look like if he were a Buck? Oh, wait, that one's different. That's Tom.
Right.
But, like, what would this guy look if he were over there? It doesn't matter. Like, I don't want Brock Purdy to ever go be good or whatever on the Jaguars. This is a great fit. There's a system here. He runs it better than anyone we've ever seen. He gets credit for that. He's also very lucky where he landed.
Yes, and they're lucky that he landed here because yep. turns out he's really good and really good at running the system. And you could say that about any quarterback virtually across the league. Is Patrick Mahomes fortunate for landing on an Andy Reid team?
Big time.
You bet.
Big time.
Because if he was, I don't know, a Patriot and he had to sit there behind Tom Brady and then Brady leaves and you have the roster that they have, Patrick Mahomes is not Patrick Mahomes. He's on the run. He's better than Drake May in what we saw last night.
Wow, yeah.
And I've started looking at some of the highlights. That poor guy. Talk about developing quarterbacks. He's developing a complex.
Well, okay. Is there anybody in the league right now that's a really good quarterback you think who's unlucky for where he ended up? And maybe he's kind of sitting there in the weeds. I give you one name that pops to mind, and it's a little early to really figure it out yet. But the first name that most people will think of when I ask that is Justin Herbert. Is Justin Herbert unlucky for where he ended up? Because we've had a hard time sort of assessing Justin. Statistically, good. Our eye test, really good. Production, playoff victories, zippo. But now, is he going to win games but do it with his run game?
Right.
And now he's hurt, and he might miss this weekend. But, that's going to be a complicated one. But I would argue more than not that, yeah, Justin would probably be a different entity in this league if he had ended up on a healthier organization. And maybe now it's getting healthy. But it hasn't been. It's the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. And even if he succeeds now, it feels like he'll be doing it in ways that we would not have anticipated because they're going to be run first.
Let me ask you this one. You'll love this one. What about Baker?
It's a good example. As a Browns, he was struggling, and you know, there's Johnny Manziel who struggled, and then Baker went in there and did mostly the same. He was a little bit better, but bad system, and now he's on a team with much better weapons and a much more of a winning culture, and all of a sudden he's shining.
Well, and he went to the Panthers, and that was also wobbly, yep. And then he went to the Rams for a second.
Oh, that's right. He was a Rams.
Remember the Ram?
That's right.
He had a good Monday night game one time, but that was never meant for the long haul. And now, again, I don't think he'll ever be the star of the league, but he, at minimum, looks very serviceable. From a production standpoint, top half of the league. And now you're right. He's got good receivers. He's got a good defense. Guess what? The Bucs are going to be good.
Yep.
You know? So, all right. 888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to weigh in on any of this, your Niners anxiety, what you think Brock will look like, without some of his weapons this weekend, and if the Niners lose this one, then what?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right.
Here yep. we go.
There we go. All I can say is I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I'm excited. This is It's not what we want, but maybe it's what we need. Maybe we need to see this.
It's always different. I mean, you get 17 of them, and they're all going to be different. And you go into it thinking a certain thing. And I always love that because we did the schedule game. We played the schedule game right when the schedule came out. And I think I had them at 12-5. And I believe I had this marked as a win. Whatever I had and whatever I thought, it's all such nonsense because then you get to the game, you get to the game week, and you realize no Puka Nacua for the Rams, three offensive linemen out, no Cooper Kupp, and Steiny texted me about half an hour ago and said, no Higbee! Like he wants me to.
No Higbee.
No, but it's, yeah. It was Steiny's way of saying I'm listening, which I thought was hilarious, and so I wanted to mention that. And
I didn't know that he texted, but anyway, go ahead.
He'll text me usually around this time when he is listening. He's in the car, and he'll give me some random shout-out that just indicates he's listening. And no Debo, and looks like no Kittle and no McCaffrey. So everything we thought 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 5 months ago about this matchup, you can go ahead and throw it out. Because you have no idea when you look at it in advance. And just like next week against New England, will it be Drake May? I know the head coach yesterday said, Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starter until he's no longer the starter. Thanks, coach.
Great statement.
Yeah, which, I mean, who knows what it'll be next week. And so every game, you look at it individually, and you get 17 of these. And so, yeah, to answer your statement or to respond to it, I am also super excited because this is not the Rams matchup that we had anticipated, but for obviously different reasons, this one's pretty exciting now.
Well, that's why we're not supposed to play schedule game anymore. You're not supposed to play win-loss because I say the same thing to you every time. Who's playing in the game?
Yeah.
When we get to December, who's in? Who are the quarterbacks for the two teams?
I had the Niners at 5-0 after 5 weeks.
No, that's not going to happen.
I don't like my chances.
That one's not going to happen, yeah. You know what I mean? Like who knew 3 weeks ago? And I think, is this a matchup this weekend? Are the Packers in Tennessee? All right? So 3 weeks ago, you're like, okay, Packers in Tennessee. Let me take a look at the look-ahead line. What do we that's got correct. Here? Yeah. Next thing you know, former Titans quarterback-to-be Malik Willis is going to potentially start the game for the other team.
Yeah, it's a revenge game.
Now, we don't know that. Jordan Love is still a maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Listen, it's questionable.
Okay, so he's a maybe. But like that, everything changes on a freaking dime.
Texans and Vikings, Chargers and Steelers, battle of unbeatens.
Oof.
What? What? Oh, we all saw that. Now, the Texans, everyone's been high on, sure.
Vikings are going to win that game.
Vikings 2-0. Houston favored by 2 on the road. You like them home dogs. I know you like them home dogs.
The Vikings are going to win that football game. No running game for the Texans. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, both out. That will be a Cam Akers production for the Houston Texans. And we already know what we know about the Vikings defense. Especially at home, and I love the Vikings in that football game.
Chargers at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, a 3-point home favorite.
Steelers will win that game.
That's an interesting one.
I don't think Justin Herbert is going to play. Did you watch his practice?
Didn't look good.
Arc?
Yeah.
No, his arc.
Oh.
Out Wednesday, in Thursday, out again today.
That's not good.
And then told people he has a high ankle sprain.
Right.
So even if he plays, yeah, he can't move.
Be a little hobbled.
Now, maybe he's just going to hand the ball off to J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards all day long, who look rebirthed under Jim Harbaugh. But I like the Steelers.
Yeah, I also like the stack. And I mentioned this, I think, Monday, how I hated the fact that there was 10 morning games and 3 in the afternoon this week.
Well, what is
we
it
got 7
week?
In the morning,
okay,
and we've got 5 in the afternoon.
There you go.
So I know, and this is a classic two-screener where you got the one screen on the red zone and the other screen will be on the Niners in the afternoon, but you got 5 afternoon games. And if you look at those 5, they're really, like Ravens-Cowboys has some sex appeal.
Oh, big time.
And then the other one is Lions-Cardinals, first one to 50 in that one.
No, that's a fun one. That's a fun game. That's a fun game. And I even have some love for Dolphins and Seahawks. The Seahawks are 2-0, and we got to see the Dolphins without Tua. The Raiders hosting the Panthers. I don't know. Andy Dalton's the starting quarterback now.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton's the starting quarterback.
Right. And how do you want me to react to that?
The Panthers are now more viable than they were last week. Is how I would like you to react.
Well, Raiders at home with a chance to go to 2-1, which would be something. That would be exciting for them. But at the end of the weekend, you're probably going to still have, I mean, you got Chiefs and Falcons on Sunday night, which is a good little Sunday night game.
Oh, is that the night one?
And then we have twin Monday night games, which I don't love. I'll be honest about that.
I don't know. Why do they do that? Why do they do that?
I'd have to get in a network exec to answer that.
And they used to do it.
Week one.
Week one.
Yeah.
And then Niners and Jets, they're like, clear it out. And now it's week three. And it is, I honestly don't know what is the concept of ABC essentially having two competing products at the same time?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You've got the early game Jaguars and Bills, and then you've got Commanders and Bengals.
Yeah, but the early game starts 45 minutes before the late game.
Right, and the late game is on ABC and then ESPN Plus. So I don't know what the thinking is. What the rationale is.
I have an important question.
Yes?
Does Dibs make two picks on Monday?
You're damn right he does. He makes 1 of 4 and 1 of 5.
Whoa, that feels like a lot of pressure. I better do my homework. I mean, as hot as I've been, fade the Dibbers. You're all welcome, because your boy's going to be hot. I'll be going into that one at 5-3.
You are not. Listen, I know you say things tongue-in-cheek. You cannot yell hot. When you picked the Patriots +6 last night.
You've lost 2 of your last 3.
Yeah, you are not hot.
I've won 4 of my last 7.
You're not even, like, warm. You're just sitting there trying to figure it out.
I have it dialed, and yesterday wasn't a clerical error. Yesterday was a good old-fashioned brain cramp.
It was just an error.
Just a big-time error.
Yeah. What position do you play in baseball?
I was a second baseman.
Okay, E4.
Yeah.
E4.
And my late father, Dwayne Dibley, rest in peace, used to scream at me, get in front of it! Because I would Olay every single ground ball. There was never a ground ball that I caught where I caught it in front of me.
You didn't Olay that one. You got in front of it, and it went right straight between through. Your damn wickets.
Right between the legs!
Right between the wickets!
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's a bad beat.
All right.
It was bad that I got beat. It was a bad pick,
it was.
It's just bad. I get the Niners given 6.5. I feel good about that one. But, yeah, it's going to be fun in the morning with 7 games, full-on red zone. You know, none of those games, I don't think, really commands solo viewing. The best game, I think, would be
Texans-Vikings. Eagles-Saints. Eagles-Saints, watch. This is the game where the Saints announce themselves to the world as real.
Yeah.
They're going to beat the Eagles.
Or frauds.
They're going to beat the Eagles.
Favored by 2.5 at home.
They're going to beat the Eagles.
Yeah. And you and I, head-to-head in fantasy.
I know.
And I'm already off to a big lead. I'm comfortably in front.
I don't know that I would say that.
Check the percentages.
Yeah. Oh, percentages.
You hate that so much.
No, actually, I love it. I love it. That's what I did to Steiny in the championship last year after his big Thursday night. I congratulated him on his title. And then it all went
down. It unraveled,
Yeah. Grandy, what are you doing? What are you going to do here?
It is funny.
Yeah.
The conversation on the the morning show that upset you so much, Willard. We're going to hear from your old friend, Kirk Morrison.
Oh.
He was on with Bonte and Shasky earlier today. That's coming up next.
Oakland.
It's a ridiculous statement. Need to start winning because of Purdy instead of in spite of him. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, what happened last weekend? Couldn't get it done in Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's
a great question.
Thank you. Two big whoppers of turnovers. He cost him the game, some would say.
They're one of the most ignorant statements I've ever heard.
Exactly.
Nice.
All right, Grandy, here he comes. And that's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I want to send out a thank you to all of our listeners this week. That was a ton of fun. The engagement, the calls, the tweets, the texts, the YouTube comments, all the criticism, all the unfair shots. We love every single piece of it. Thank you so much for all of your sarcasm and beyond. It really gives me a big old warm fuzzy.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Nah.
How about the day after that?
I'm watching ball.
Okay, how about Monday?
Can't wait till Monday.
Fade the Dibbers. times two.
Brock Purdy better deliver on Sunday or he's getting blasted.
Number two.
For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.